Like no to the hourglass. These are the songs of our lives. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Songs of Our Lives. I am Brad Rose. I'm an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and someone who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. Each week, I invite on a guest to talk about these songs and the music that has meant a lot to them and left its mark. Previous guests include Lucy Liu, Circuit Deu, Ava Mendoza, Jeff Tobias, Yada, Sarah Davachi, Clarisse, Maurice. So many more, but this week I am thrilled to have Kaho Matsui on, and things get fried. We were joking throughout the episode and before and after that it was the most fried episode there's been. Playlist wise, I think there's no denying it, but that's what made this episode a whole lot of fun. There was so much stuff on here I'd never heard of. It was all new to me. I felt very old, but also like I was in this whole other world and it was awesome. Anyway, she's always got new stuff out now. Her most recent album, Life Lover, is tremendous. And she's just a general badass. I don't know. If you're not familiar with her work, go to her Bandcamp. Give it a listen. Go for a deep dive. There's also the album she did with Maurice last year, which was one of my favorites. That was on Full Spectrum. Links to all that in the show notes. Anyway. This episode is fried. This episode's a lot of fun. I had a blast. I hope you do too. My guest today is a musician, a songwriter, an audio and engineer. I don't know. You do like everything. It's Kaho Matsui. Woo!
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm good. I just went to Chicago to play a show and also went to Madison. And then I'm visiting friends in Portland, Oregon, because I used to live here. I'm staying with my friend. She's sleeping right next to me. I'm using her laptop because I didn't bring my laptop. Yeah, but I'm feeling awesome.
Awesome. Who were you playing with in Chicago?
My friend Deirdre Frumberg is... She's like mostly like a stagehand and does a lot of like improvised music with a computer, like really deep into like Maximus V stuff. Mm. She also plays the singing saw, which is really cool. Big like folk music head, I think. But we've been friends for a long time through, she books a lot of shows in Chicago. I was friends with her wife through the internet for a long time. But when we met like a couple of years ago, we like, all of a sudden hit it off, and then I love going to Chicago because most of my friends live there for some reason. So I was like, hey, what if I came to hang out in Chicago because I have some time off? And then she's like, oh yeah, we could just play a show to like pay off the flight.
Nice.
It was like a really awesome vacation. I really wanted to go to Madison because I don't know, something about the Midwest, maybe because I'm so into Midwest emo, like it just appeals to me, so I just thought it was like nice. And then like I went to Madison, really beautiful place.
Love Madison. Went
to a real true Midwest truck stop. Amazing. Nice. It is, yeah. Like just as I pictured it, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't like done a tour in 100,000 years or anything, but playing Madison and then Chicago was like always my favorite.
Oh yeah, it's great. I love that drive where you drive by the Mars Cheese Castle.
Yeah. Which, yeah, is insane.
Yeah.
it's you can't get much more like upper Midwest than that. Cool. You often have new albums out. You're very prolific, which I can relate to because so the latest one though is Life Lover.
Yes.
And so you described it as your Never Kill Yourself album.
Yes. So I have had a lot of like bad life experiences. I've written a lot of music about it. One of my closest friends passed away in 2021, overdosing, and then like I just have weird stuff with my family, and like I have like chronic pain. I'm trans. Like I have so much music to write about that's like very like negative sounding, I guess. I think about how like I've kind of like settled into how I'm living. I'm fortunately able to like live off of freelancing. I've been in the same relationship with my girlfriend Heather for a very long time now, and like, you know, music stuff's going great. Chronic pain stuff not so much, but at the end of the day, I'm like my life's awesome. And then there's like this I have done a lot of like harsh noise like as a teenager. And I think it always has like the connotation of like evil and negativity. And then like I wanted to make this like thing that was like okay, like there's bad things in my life, and then like that like makes me want to like shriek, but it's like at the end of the day, it's like I love my life. Like, and that's you know, I think a lot of us has seen the meme of like never kill yourself, and then it's like guy sitting in front of like a TV playing like Family Guy with like a pile of fast food. Like it's that. Like at the end of the day, it's that.
No, I mean, I get it. Like I mean, I live in Oklahoma, which is fucking, you know, dumpster fire. I mean, yeah, anyway. But like, yeah, I don't know. My wife and I talk about that all the time, how it's like, yeah, like there's a lot of really horrible stuff, and we got a lot of bad stuff we're dealing with, but also, yeah, I like my life, and and it's this weird disconnect almost. Like, I don't know. It's
Every time I look at the news, it's like, oh, the world is gonna end. Like,
right.
I'm like, yeah. But yeah. but you know, like I've spent my whole day, like, I don't know, like spending time with my girlfriend and then like playing video games, and then I'm like, wait, it's awesome. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, I relate to that so much. I'm curious about your process. Just, I'm always curious. So, especially people who write and record and release a lot of music, because again, that's the thing I do. Are like, so take Life Lover for just as an example. From idea to I have an album done. Like what? What does that look like? Like, how does it?
Well, I'll first preface this by saying, if anyone's not familiar, I release like maybe 5 to 10 albums a year. They're all a little over 30 minutes to like 50 minutes long. And then, the thing about it is, like, I really believe in the idea of like practicing recording music. If you are learning piano or guitar or something, you would play every day and you get better, and then you would be able to like express an idea better, right? Because you have the vocabulary for it. And I think about how building the muscle memory, building the vocabulary for recording is important, because the thing is, I know a lot of people in bands and they're like, I just broke up with my girlfriend, I want to write a song about it. And then it takes them 2 months to write a song. And then it takes them 2 more months to like rehearse it with his band. And then it takes 2 months until they have enough money to go to a studio. And then it's 2 months after that, that it gets released. And I'm like, you've already gone through 2 relationships between like the release and that. And it like makes no sense to me. But I have been like recording, like I've been doing audio engineering for a long time. I've been playing guitar basically my whole life. And then I record music every single day. And I think about like how the process is, once I have an idea, I just do it. And then if it sucks, it sucks. But yeah. I think about how like I'm not Taylor Swift, you know, I don't have employees. I don't have a lot of money going in or out of doing music. So then I'm like, okay, if I have a flop album, who cares?
Like, yeah, what does that even mean, right?
Yeah. And then so the thing is, I record it. I think everything is practice. I think, you know, I just put out a record. It's being received well or not well, but I'll just work on the next one anyway. Yeah. And I think like the idea of that is kind of how it drives how I release music. And then, so I've tried like putting stuff through a label. I've tried like having a manager. None of this works out because of how frequently I do things. And then it's like, oh, you should promo this more. No, I'm already on the next one. Like, and then, yes. So it becomes like this, like completely DIY operation. It's almost like a diary. And I will, like, I think about how it's so easy to have ideas, and then it's up to you to have the ability to execute it, and if you have the time and energy to do so. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like I will practice recording and performing every day, and then it'll turn out to be like this thing where I can have an idea, do it, and then I'm like, that's done. Because like I think about how this came to, like, how a lot of music I've released in the past, when my friend passed away, I wrote like an album about it, like in like 2 days, because like I'm thinking about it all the time, and then right. I have the muscle memory to like use a computer to write the music or like play instruments, and then like it'll just come together so fast. And then like, is it a product for entertainment? I don't know. That's up to the listener. Sure.
Right.
But
right.
It comes together really fast. And then I'm like, this is some kind of like cathartic thing I can do. I think Life Lover took 5 days to record, because I recorded Sisterhood, which was kind of a leftover off the last album, where I'm like, thematically, I don't think this really fits. Because it's like, the thing is, it's like, if I was a life lover, would you loosen the grip on my neck? And then it's like things. But it's like, it didn't fit with the last album, but I had like the idea of the song, or idea of like the phrase life lover. Mm-hmm. And then, also like there's this funny thing I do at home where I'm like, oh, I'm the pretzel eater. Like, I'm the TV watcher. And then, so like life lover, really funny to me. Yeah. And then so like once I started recording Sisterhood, and then I recorded A Story of a Girl Who Cried a River and Hates the Whole World, my friend Purity Filter, she lives like really close to my house, so I was like, hey, do you want to come over and record music? And then like it comes together like that. Yuboa, I like DM'd her. I'm so glad like the people I'm collaborating with like do everything so fast.
Yeah.
But I messaged Yuboa online, and I was like, and we have like a bunch of mutual friends. I was on Mara McDonald's record last year with Yuboa, and then so like we knew of each other, and we have a lot of mutual friends. And then so I was like, hey, do you think I can like get this kind of thing? And I just sent her a demo, and she's like, oh, I'm super down. And then so she sent, I messaged her before I went to bed, but there's the time difference with like Australia. So then she's right. like, oh yeah, I'm in bed right now, I'll work on it right now. And then like she sent it to me while I was asleep. And then
oh my gosh.
I put it together, and I was like, oh, I really want vocals on this. So I was like, hey, can I get vocals on this? And she's like, okay, cool. And then the next morning I get it back.
Wow.
And it came together so fast. And then like,
that's awesome.
The mixing, mastering stuff, like I've done it for like over a decade, so I'm like, here we go, like this is done.
Right.
And then yeah, it's like I want it as fast as possible, because I don't like the idea of waiting. I like, don't sit on releases. I will just record it and then just put it out. The album with Mari, I think other than like the collabs, we were just in her old apartment, because I was in New York for a show, and then we recorded everything in like 2-3 days while I was like sleeping on her couch. And it just came together. And then like we played like 2 shows that week together, and then we're like, wait, that sounded crazy, let's do that. And then like it'll just happen. And then my thing is like, I've been like kind of trying to emulate what Mari's been doing for the last decade. I'm like a Mari's lifer, so
right there with you.
I like, we were kind of just on the same page when we were like sitting down and recording together. And then so it's like, I don't know. I like try not to like work on stuff too long. I feel like if I work on stuff too long, also like I won't have the same sentiment going in by the time it's done. And then I'm like, well, I don't feel the same way about whatever thing I'm writing music about. And then like, I'll not want to release it because it feels dishonest.
Right.
So yeah. I think that's my thing.
I relate to so much of that. I think like the biggest, like 15 years ago or so, people would have to take things away from me because I would just tinker with them and tinker. Yeah. And now it's like I've gone the complete opposite direction and it feels so much, I don't know, it just feels right for me to not be super precious about it. And I like the idea, like, I mean, yeah, people ask me like, well, how do you do so much stuff? I'm like, I like play and record music every day. Like, mm-hmm. even if I can only find 20 minutes, I'm going to sit down and do something.
I also think about like, I don't know, like beatboxing into my voice memo because I thought of a cool groove or something. Mm-hmm. Like that counts for me. And then like, like I used to like work at like a hotel and I'd go into the cleaning closet to go on GarageBand on my phone to like record something. And then I'm like, I'm gonna work on this when I get home. And I like don't, but it's like I had the idea. I did it on my phone in the cleaning closet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's like also, I mean, I get people ask me all the time stuff about like field recordings. What equipment do I need? And it's like, okay, I can give you like a whole like list of, you can go spend all this money, but honestly, use your phone.
Yeah.
Just use your phone.
Yeah. I'm like on the train. I have a phone in my hand. Like,
yeah. Just like so many of the field recordings you hear that I use on myself, it's probably came from my phone. Cause that's,
That iPhone mic sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, technology exists to, you know, but again, just don't need to be super precious about anything. Okay, well, I could talk about this for a long time, and this episode would go on forever. I'm going to awkwardly segue into the list of questions, and now I have there's so many songs on this list that I'd never heard. I think there are more songs on your list that I'd never heard before than any other list.
Interesting. Well, here's also the thing that I want you and the listener to keep in mind. Mostly my listening habits are music made by friends. I'm very fortunate to have a lot of like extremely talented friends. And then like I will like, you know, always get excited about like whatever Mari releases or something.
Right.
But outside of that, it is like I am like known to have like diabolical music taste.
Perfect.
Like there's like almost like zero irony when you're like, why do you listen to this song? Like there's no irony. I'm like, I legitimately think this is like such a good song. And it's like everything from like, it's like some shit you like I'd hear on TikTok and I'm like, this is like life-changingly good. And it's like a song about like wristwatches. Like, and I'm like, and then, you know, I'm a little embarrassed about like, you know, I'll meet like people and they're like, oh, what do you listen to? And then I'm like, oh, should I say it? Or like, I'll make like a Spotify playlist every time I put out records with like music I've been listening to while working on the thing. And then, like, I'm trying not to have like the true, like, bottom of the barrel tracks in there, because I feel like there'd be like a level of judgment that would make someone not like want to listen to my music. So I just want everyone to keep this in mind.
Okay.
That I'm really fried.
fair. Yeah. Okay. Well, what is the first song that you remember?
Okay. Strange One, right off the bat. I moved to the US from Japan when I was in elementary school. And it was like such a weird, tumultuous time. Just because like I moved somewhere, I have no friends, I don't speak the language, right?
Yeah.
And then there was this like crazy like memory activation moment where I'm like sitting in the back of my mom's car and All Star by Smash Mouth starts playing. And I like almost like every single memory before that moment is so hazy. Like we were like going to some restaurant for dinner. That comes on the radio. That is like the and then it's like I think about like, have I heard Twinkle Twinkle Little Star before this? Hard maybe. Hard maybe. Like, can you really remember? Right?
Right.
And so I'm like 7, 8 years old, Smash Mouth, All Star. That is the first song I remember.
That's amazing. You know, it's so Mari, who will keep coming up. So
yeah.
Hi, Mari, if you're listening to this. well, the first interview I did when like Foxy Digitalis came back in 2021 was with Mari.
I have listened to this.
And we talked about Smash Mouth, and she was like, what's the album that this is on? Or I don't know. She was like, no, I can't remember which album it is, but she was like defending it. And she was like, no, there are good songs on there. And
I don't think I've heard other Smash Mouth songs. That's the thing.
I think I've heard maybe like one other one. And I meant to, and even when she brought this up, I was like, okay, I'm going to go listen to it. I never did, but I meant to. Maybe I will. But
there's a funny Smash Mouth fact. So I used to live in San Jose, California, and they are from San Jose, California, or at least like general Bay Area. I think all the members are from different parts of the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I think one of the guys and some of the managers or something of Smash Mouth started a food review channel on YouTube, which I recently discovered because it's like my friend or me or someone went to the same high school as the bassist from Smash Mouth. And I was like, you know, I gotta know. So yeah. I was like Googling around. After I sent you the email for this podcast, I was like, what's up with Smash Mouth? Do they still write music? Right? And then so like post Shrek World and then like doing research, food review channel. And they like they mostly focus on like pizza and sandwiches, I think. But they went to like the pizza place I used to go to as a kid all the time. And like I was like, whoa, this is like a real thing.
It kind of makes sense. I don't know. They're kind of, and I don't mean this in a like disparaging ways. It's going to sound bad, but like they're kind of like the Guy Fieri of like 2000s alt rock.
Definitely. I think the guy doesn't have frosted tips, but same like ethos.
Yeah. And hey, and supposedly Guy Fieri is like a really great guy. So
yeah, I watched Guy's Grocery something on the plane on the way to here. Great show.
Well, if it's not All Star, what is a song that makes you cry?
This is another slightly fried one. So it's Porter Robinson's Russian Roulette. It's like such a pop song. I was also not a Porter Robinson fan when he was like a EDM DJ, and then like I got put on by other people who like make rock music, and I was like, wait, this guy makes like weird like early 2000s MySpace sounding pop music. Like, that's crazy. But and like the album before this is really good too, but I think about how like this song is on the same album as like, or this song has like the lyrics where it's like YouTube review, haha funny monkey pees in his own mouth crazy, and it like sounds stupid. But it's like this like thing of like him like kind of thinking of like burnout and like what am I doing with my life, and it's like I'm like always the person stopping me from putting a gun to my head. And then it kind of ends with like this text-to-speech that's like never kill yourself. And then there's like this really like corny dance beat, but it's like perfectly euphoric in like the weird, like, you know how like early 2000s pop music, it's trying to be this like extremely epic, like euphoric thing. And it sometimes it doesn't land, but like this just lands for me. And I was like on the train going to work last year when this came out. And I was like, I'm not like a huge Porter Robinson fan, so I was like, oh, there's a new album, I'll listen to it. And then I just start sobbing on the train. And then like I don't know, something about that song and the outro of like I might start crying now. Where it's like the second chorus dies down, he's like, I want to thank my dad one more time, I want to marry her one more time. And it's like, it just like makes my eyes wet. Yeah. It's a great song. People are like, oh, internet, like ex-EDM guy. Like, I'm not gonna listen to his music, but like, I'm such a like pop music believer.
I'd never heard this before. Like, this was completely off my radar, and I really, I really dug it. Like the intro and the outro, especially. I don't know. Like, I really, just sonically, it was really.
Yeah, it's like poppy and fun.
Yeah, and whatever. But
then if you think about it, it's like, oh, I might cry.
Yeah. No, that's really. I like the the euphoric is a good descriptor. I'll have to check out more. This is again, totally not
I'm sorry. Thing.
No. It's like, again, this is part of why I like doing the shows, because I like learn about stuff I probably would not hear otherwise.
Yeah, I almost put like Neil Young on one of the songs on the list, but I was like, no, I need to like be honest with myself. I gotta have the fried selections.
Yeah,
I
love Neil Young comes up all the time.
I know, and I was like, everyone's heard Neil Young. Like,
yeah. Well, what's a song that will put you in a better mood?
Lucy Cooper B. Handy's "Make My Bed," produced by my friend Ivy, who I did an album with last year. But it's like, it's motivational music. There's like the corny MIDI guitar, really loud bass, and then it's like, and then I wake up in the morning and I make my bed, you know.
Yeah, no, this is another one I'd never heard before, and I like this way more than I have any right to.
And it's like the memories let go. Ask me why, I don't know, but then I remember every word you said. Every morning I wake up and I make my bed, and it's such a great. It's so simple. It's so short.
Yeah,
this whole album is like, kind of this vibe where it's like really weird MIDI instrumentals with like extremely loud bass that's like so jarring when you listen to it in a car because it's so loud. And he's like, I never had a curfew. And yeah, he's great.
Are all the songs like super short like this on the album?
Yeah, it's like,
so it's like a 23 minute album or something.
Yeah, it comes and goes, and every song, like, it ends before I get tired of it. But you know, like, every song is kind of like this, where he's like crazy young man on the clock, like hands ripping up the envelope, like, and it's just like, you're like, wow, that's crazy. And then this song just goes. But this is like the first song on the album. I remember when it came out, I've been a fan of Ivy for a long time, so I was like, oh my god, new Ivy album. And I listened to it on the way to work, and I was like having such a crap morning before work anyway, so I was like, damn, like, you know, I'm getting on the train, I'm like, and then this song comes on, and it's like, and it's like corny MIDI guitar, and he's like, every morning wake up and I make my bed. And I was like, that's right. I'm gonna have a good day. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, no, I like the, I don't know. It's, yeah. If this song was like 4 minutes long, I would probably hate it.
Oh yeah, me too. Definitely.
It's, yeah, know your limits, and yeah, that's perfect. Okay, well, what is objectively the best song of all time?
Dragon Force, "Through the Fire and Flames." It is a fucking miracle that this song exists. There's all the guitar comping and editing allegations on Dragon Force. I don't care. What? That shit's on Guitar Hero. There's like 5 guitar solos in the song. The music video, amazing, because like, there's like the guitar cam when they're doing the solos, but then there's also the beer cam where the other guitarist drinks beer while the other guy solos.
Right.
And then also the whole idea of like euphoric music. Sorry. The whole idea of euphoric music. My girlfriend is really into happy hardcore and like early 2000s just dance music, right? I never really understood it, but when she was like, "Through the Fire and Flames" is kind of like the happy hardcore of like metal. And then, you know, I like grew up with that song. I suck ass at Guitar Hero, but I tried that song, you know.
Same.
Yeah. I tried learning that song on a real guitar.
Oh my god.
Didn't go very well. Didn't get any further than like 3 notes. But it's like such a miracle of a song, because like I think about how it's like this like crazy triumph and like loud, fast, like impossibly fast song, and then everyone's all shredding at the same time. Like, drummer going crazy, yeah. Vocalist going crazy. Like, everything is going crazy in that song. And then it's almost like guitar gooning. I don't like the G word. I don't like the G word, but it's like you're like maxing out on it.
Yes.
But I think it's such a good song. I used to listen to a lot of Dragon Force growing up as like a young guitarist would. Mm-hmm. But it's like what their best song easily. And then I like recently like made a remix of it in like the early 2000s, like happy hardcore style.
Oh, and wow.
It works perfectly. It is like,
I can see that.
Cause the vocals are like that vibe. Mm-hmm. And then, cause I was like, cause me and my girlfriend had that conversation of like, Dragon Force is happy hardcore, but metal. And then I was like, I'm just going to make this just to like, see if it's true. And then it works. It's amazing how like that song just exists. And everyone knows about it. Cause if you play Guitar Hero, play Guitar Hero, you know it, right? If you play guitar, you know it. If you know anyone that plays guitar or Guitar Hero, you know it, because they won't shut up about it.
Right. Yeah, no, I love that. This is such a good pick for this. There was a couple years ago, I don't know how, like, YouTube algorithm started feeding me videos of, like, people playing it, and then there was, like, a video of one of the guitar players reacting to this like French teenage girl, mm-hmm. like just fucking shredding the solos. And it was like the most pure and like, I don't know. The Dragon Force dude was just so excited and so stoked. And it was just like, ah, this is all the good, like the best vibes ever. This is I don't know. This makes me want to play. Every time I hear this, it makes me want to like hook up the Wii and play Guitar Hero.
I suck so bad at Guitar Hero. Funny Guitar Hero fact, I've been playing guitar for like over 15 years. I cannot get through like beginner shit on Guitar Hero. It's ridiculous. And then I talk to my other guitarist friends and they're like, either haven't played it or they also suck ass. But left-handed guitarist on a right-handed Guitar Hero controller is like,
That's the trick.
Something about it. It's like, okay. I know one left-handed guitarist who is really into Guitar Hero, and he's like super good at it. So I'm like, that's gotta be what it is, you know?
That's, I'll let you crack the code. Okay, well, what is a song that you used to love, but you've either heard it recently or you think about it now and doesn't quite do it for you?
Frank Ocean's Self Control. I think I love Frank Ocean, if you can't tell. But when like Blonde came out, I think the whole idea of like that album and the other like ambient album that came out on Apple Music, it was like such a miracle of like him disappearing for years and then coming back all of a sudden with an album. It's so mysterious and it's so beautiful. And I think like it's legitimately beautiful, but there's this thing, as I grew older, that album has like this like perfect summer night vibe to it that, mm-hmm. that actually doesn't exist in the real world unless you're Frank Ocean. And so every time, like, I used to, when I used to have a car and it was like summer, I would like drive around with my friend and like hang out. And then I'd like listen to it in the car all alone. And I would be like, this is such a perfect song for this vibe. But it's never like, my situation is never going to be like as perfect of a vibe as his situation. And then I'm like, this is never going to match up. And then like, I start writing more music. I meet people who write music. And then I'm like the tear down is like perfect for me, where it's like, you know, I'll never be Frank Ocean. I'll never have the I'll sleep between you guys, it's nothing situation. But like a tear below that is like perfect for me. So I think like, yes, I maybe grew out of it because the hype of the album went away for me in like 2016 or something. But, I also think it was too good for me.
I can see that. Like, I mean, I it still does it for me, but like your description of it's like, this is only works for Frank Ocean. Is
yeah, I tried to recreate the vibe in my life so many times and it never worked out.
Because you're not Frank Ocean. Yeah. So that was the missing ingredient, being Frank Ocean. Huh. Yeah, no, I
it's a great song. I just like.
Yeah, right. No. It's you're making me think about it in a way that I hadn't really thought about it.
And like, have you ever had like a perfect summer night and then like pull a side combo about your summer last night? That never happens in my life.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to if I haven't in the last 20 years, at least.
I haven't maybe, in my whole life. So
yeah, I probably haven't in my whole life, but I barely remember 20 years ago. So, cause I'm old. Okay, well, what is a song that most people hate, but you don't, whoever these people are, you don't care?
Okay, it's Drugs by Lil Aaron. This is the most fried song. Okay, my friend Anne is right next to me. She's pointing at me like this because she loves the song. We're like, we used to be neighbors and we used to like do a bunch of fried shit together. And then so, wait, dap me up. Anne's off camera, I just dapped her up. But great song. It is so trashy. His whole theme is like being green. It's like green album cover, green hair guy. Trashy, like horrible lyrics, bad like na 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 like guitar riff thing that's like so simple, like Blink 182 would like scoff at it.
Right.
But it's like such a crazy, like I've never heard a song that fried before. And it's so fascinating to me. And it borders on the same like degenerate vibe as like a lot of like harsh noise music I like or punk music I like without being any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is like objectively the, if this, you know, this is like the opposite of the Dragon Force. It's the trashiest song I've ever heard.
My note on here is this is the most fried thing I've ever heard. So
yeah,
I'm glad.
No, it's true. I'm not going to deny that it's like the most fried thing I've ever heard. That it is. Like, but I think it is amazing how like, because it's like, I don't day drink often. You know, I don't drink as much as I used to, but I used to day drink sometimes, but I don't do it as often. But it's like when I do, I feel like him and I start like feeling like scared.
And like, oh my God, I'm going to dye my hair green. Shit.
Yeah. It's such a, like, it's just fascinating to me. And then, so I've listened to it a bunch of times. It's a short song. So, like, obviously, like, the lyrics are, like, stuck in my head. And then, like, if it comes on in the car, like, I can't help but, like, scream along to it.
Yeah. This is definitely, like, I want to be cruising around. Windows down,
like you gotta get a DUI. Like,
yeah, right, yeah. If I don't really drink at all anymore, but if I did and thought I was getting pulled over for a DUI, I'd have to pull this song on, put this song on, and just blast it. Be like, all right, fucking doing it.
It's like amazing how like I feel like shame and like guilt every time I like put it on in someone's car or like someone catches me listening to it.
But
I love that song.
That makes, I mean, that's a perfect answer for this question then. What is the most romantic song?
It is First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes. I think this is the most normal song in the list of songs that I gave you. I think it transcends being romantic. It's like such a like, I don't know. He's such a genius. It's crazy. It's like I almost like don't know where to begin to describe it.
I can't stand Connor Oberst, so I
really.
Oh my God. Yeah, not never. It, like I don't know. Never connected for me.
I think
which one of my favorite things to say though is when I was like 17, I played a show in Omaha. Connor Oberst was one of the opening acts for me.
Whoa,
he was like,
it's like that's big crazy. Dunked on him. But I think about how like this song I don't know, it like almost like transcends being romantic with like the entire album being like such a like weird, like it almost feels like this weird candid view on like his life and like his failing relationships almost. Mm-hmm. And then this song is the only one where it's like, no, I love you. And then,
yeah,
like, it's like, I think it's well written. I think it's, you could, like, I don't know how to describe this. It's like the music video where it's like different couples like listening to it with headphones, like sitting together on a couch. It's like there's like this perfect thing. It makes me want to cry. Because it's like, I think about how like me and my girlfriend have been in a very steady and good relationship for years. And then we're like sitting on the TV and like just like sitting there and like cuddling together. And then this comes on in like an Instagram reel and I'm going to like start crying kind of thing. Cause it's so perfect. And I'm like, this is me right now. Like, this is the first day. I like the idea that it's like, this is the first day of my life. Like, that's so like beyond romantic to the point where it's like you could say that about someone.
Yeah. No, I'll give them that. Like, I think if I heard this and didn't know it was him, I don't know. It's, you know, we all have like those bands and those people. Yeah. Just like, but like from trying to look at it objectively, like, yeah, I mean that idea, like you were saying, like first day of my, like that is, yeah,
it's that, cute. That, it's just cute.
It is. It like makes me like feel very like warm and
yeah,
happy.
Funny Conor Oberst thing. So recently, I don't watch a lot of movies, so then my girlfriend's trying to get me to watch more movies, and then my recent movie obsession is Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, right? And then I texted Mari, and I was like, Spider-Man 3 is such a good movie. Mari comes up a lot in this podcast, but I text Mari, Spider-Man 3, best movie. And she's like, I love when he turns into Conor Oberst, because like he goes like evil mode. And his hair becomes emo, and then he just becomes Conor Oberst.
Amazing. Yeah, I haven't seen Spider-Man 3 in a long time. Now that makes me want to... I'm like, oh, maybe I'll need to watch that this week. okay. All right, what is the song that changed your perspective on an artist, either for better or for worse?
It is So I by Charlie XCX. I was never on the Charlie XCX hype train. I know, like... There is like the Sophie produced like Room Room or whatever after. I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry to all the Charlie heads. I wasn't paying attention. I was sleeping. But Brat comes out. Literally everyone's talking about it. And it's like kind of getting to me because I never listened to her music. And then I hear like the couple like huge songs on like TikTok. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's pop music. It like, and also like don't have that thing where I'm like, like, I think about how people are like, this song sounds offensive, as in, like, they'll listen to, like, Imagine Dragons, and they're like, this is so offensive to my ears, but I don't really have that. I have, like, such a high tolerance for, like, bad music. Because it's like, okay, like, if you want to take it truly unlistenable, like, there's noise walls everywhere. There's literally anything, right? And then so I'm like, it ain't bad, but I don't care. And then, my friend, we were friends with my friend that passed away a couple years ago. My friend that passed away is like a kind of popular electronic musician. She was releasing music under the name Golden Boy, lots of like breakcore, hardcore kind of music, but she's like internationally known, and then even more so now that she's passed away. But like, So I is about Charlie X's like relationship with Sophie, who passed away. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this thing where it's like, were we really friends, or were we just like collaborators, and like, you know. And then I don't know, it's like maybe because I have the same feeling. Well, it's like Paris Alexander, Golden Boy, and I are like, we're really close friends, and so there's no like doubt about it, but it's like this thing where it's like, oh, it's not just like I'm like, I'm relating to this, and I will listen to the whole album, and I'm like, Brat is not bad. But yeah, and then now like I listen to Brat once in a while. The remix album's pretty good, but it kind of just changed my perspective. I still can't get into her older stuff because it's just not my speed, but I like the weird like kind of like freakishly corny like pop music stuff that's going on Brat.
Yeah,
but like this was the gateway to it for me, And then everyone's like, finally, you're listening to Charli XCX. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm an entire year late.
Better late than never, I guess. I don't know. I love Charli XCX, so I'm one of those people.
No,
like,
she's awesome. I was just not paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, this song gets, I don't know, I get very emotional listening to this song, because I'm like, I was obsessed with Sophie. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm still kind of obsessed with Sophie.
Oh, me too.
I still listen to like old Sophie stuff. And I'm like, how was this made like 10 years ago?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like no one's ever going to catch up to this. but yeah, this. Whew. Okay. I can't think about this song too much because it makes me emotional.
Oh, me too. This song could have also been in the songs that make me cry, but yeah. I didn't cry, so it didn't make it.
This was my guess for that song, just because it makes me cry. okay, what are your favorite lyrics?
It's the whole song, and it's the whole it's Corbin's scab. Corbin, aka FKA Spooky Black, he was a meme back in the day on YouTube. Because he was like a really scrawny white boy with a turtleneck and a durag on in like the snow, like singing like a ghost over like an R&B beat. But he kind of like stepped out of like the meme thing and makes this like extremely dejected music. Like the most like depressed, like dejected R&B you could ever hear.
Right.
it's very like Young Lean adjacent, I think. But also there's the way like Scab... or this whole album really is like so shamelessly dejected, and there's almost no sugarcoating. There's so much like shit that's like corny on it, but
right.
It's like I wish I had the courage to write a song like him, because like all the like rhymes and stuff are so corny, and he's like, I know that I'm a bastard, but I can make your like life faster, and then like, and it's like. It's almost like I just thought of it in 10 minutes. Like this whole song, like if you look at the lyrics, it sounds like he wrote it in 10 minutes. Cause it's like, there's nothing clever about it. And then I think the complete lack of cleverness in the writing is like so crazy. But, I don't know. It's like something about, and then it's like, I'm not like a huge fan of him. I just think the way he writes songs, it's like, and he sings like he's like breaking down crying, and then he's like, never thought you'd drive me to the clinic, like baby I'm stuck in Sin City, and then it's like, it's so corny, but it's like it just works so well for me and the way I write songs, because I feel like I try to like keep it metaphor free, because I'm not very good at writing, so I'd rather just be like honest than poetic, and then like this guy has been like the blueprint for me for a few years.
Awesome. Yeah, this song, I think this song's so good. I like
it's awesome.
It's yeah, like then there's like so much going on, like the, I don't know, especially like the backing track and stuff.
There's like the guitar, so... and then the drum, it's like so like so many synthesizers.
I know.
Also, I think like he records his vocals like one line at a time, so sometimes it overlaps, so it just sounds crazy.
Yeah. It's yeah, the whole yeah, there's something that feels that you describe it, it's like, yeah, there's something that, I don't know, kind of feels off, but like in a way that I like, but I think that's what it is. The way that he records his vocals is so, it doesn't feel natural.
Yeah. Sense.
But it works. I don't know. Yeah, at least it works
like,
for him.
There's other songs on this album where it's like really questionable bars, but it just works. As he'll be like, shit the bed I used to sleep in. And then it's like, what? But it's like in the context of the song, it's like, so like, it makes me so sad. He's a genius. It's crazy.
What a hell of that. God, that should have been the line you picked.
Yeah, but the rest of the song, I'm not really into. I think yeah. I think Scab is like fair. Such a good song from beginning to right. end lyrically, because like none of it's sugar-coated or poetic. It just keeps going.
I like that. What's your approach? I just keep going. That's how I write lyrics. What is the last song that you completely fell in love with?
Absolute Singularity by Shane Justice McCord. Shane Justice McCord is, I played a show with him recently in Philadelphia. He is in the band Sham. He lives in North Carolina. He's friends with a lot of my other friends who live in Philly that are from North Carolina. But he, like, it's like this, like, really beautiful, like, detailed lyricism, interesting, like, instrument playing. There's, like, I think, like, oboe and bassoon, upright bass, mm-hmm. and then, like, the way he plays guitar is, like, it's in an open tuning. He puts it on his lap, and he, like, taps harmonics out with his fingers while he's singing. And then it's, like, when he performed it, he was, like, a duo with this other person. I think their name was Charlie? I don't remember. But, hearing it first live, and I was like, whoa, this is so gorgeous. And then going home and listening to it digitally, and I was like, this is equally gorgeous. And it was, like, the first song he played in the set. But that whole album and also that song, it's, like, this really, like, it almost feels like an accident. If you know what I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. it almost feels like a voice memo or like, cause there's like this field recording playing in the back the entire time. And it almost feels like it was so candidly recorded and candidly performed. Cause it's not like a really strained, like high effort performance. It's so laid back and it's like really gorgeous. And there's like these like fluttering, like woodwinds occasionally mm-hmm. that come in that you'll like forget about. Cause you're so focused on like this, like weird like guitar tapping and gentle singing, and then all of a sudden it goes into the woodwinds and you're like, whoa, like it's kind of
it's like every time it's a surprise.
The way like it's written, like composed, is like mm-hmm. it's so interesting because the melodies kind of don't go where you expect it to. It's a gorgeous song, genius guy.
This is another one I never heard, and
I don't think a lot of people have heard it. I think there's only like 10 people that bought it on Bandcamp. And I was like, I need to put everyone onto this song on the podcast.
Yes. Tomorrow is Bandcamp Friday. So I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this album. Like, tomorrow.
It's so good.
People won't hear this till after then, but still, like, I can't wait to listen to the whole thing because I probably listened to this song like 3 or 4 times. Just, yeah, God.
It kind of walks you in. You're like, whoa. Yeah. And then you keep listening to it.
Yeah. Is the whole album kind of like this, or is it?
There's a lot of like looser songs. There's a lot of regular guitar strumming songs, but it's like equally gorgeous. Like,
awesome.
I've been a huge fan since we performed together because I'd never heard of him. And yeah. I was like completely blown away.
I can't, yeah. I'm.
If really he comes to Oklahoma, you gotta see him perform because I think that's when it's like,
yeah.
You're like, whoa, this is so good.
Hopefully, well, not a lot of people come to Oklahoma, understandably.
I could tell them to go to Oklahoma.
I got friends who set up shows all the time. I can put them in touch. I don't put shows on anymore, but I know people who do. Okay. What cover is better than the original?
Originally, a Fishman song called Ikareta Baby, covered by Manami Kakudo. I am a big Fishman's fan. Manami Kakudo is like composer, did jazz for a while, maybe singer, songwriter, folk music kind of person. But a lot of her music is like, it's so quiet. It's like, everything is like this gentle touch. And then Ikareta Baby, it's kind of, it's in Japanese, but the song is kind of about like, person you're in love with kind of crazy, and then like the lyrics kind of like it's the same, but like it recontextualizes itself in like this really quiet, delicate performance where it's like oh my god, this person is crazy, and this person is actually in love with this person. Like, and I think I'm just like a big fan of how Manami Kakudo does stuff, because there would be some songs where it's like gentle guitar and like woodwinds, but then like once some like the rest of the band comes in, it's like so crazy and noisy and like eclectic, but uh-huh. like she'll do that kind of thing all the time. And then so it's like a really experimental take, not like really experimental, but it's like she does really experimental stuff, and then like having to see her take on the Fishman song is a classic. I love Fishmans, but this is like a really good take on the song too. And then so like it's almost like the true side of the song, and then I go back to listening to Fishman's version and it's like funky and funny. And then
yeah,
I don't know, it's just like it's just good. I think the language barrier so makes it different for some people, but I've been a Fishman's fan for like a really long time, so
yeah, I never heard this before and was just started listening to a bunch of her stuff because this was so this song, it's like so good.
Oh, it's wonderful. So
freaking good. Yeah, I need to listen to more of her stuff because it's all new to me. So
I don't know how big she is in Japan. Like, I don't know if she like is blowing up or something. Cause it's like,
she should be,
but I don't know anything about what's trending in Japan. So I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. So, okay. What is the song that means the most to you?
It is Mari Moment, Accidental Prizes by More Ease. And like everyone knows I'm a big Mari fan. I think I found Accidental Prizes on a blog in like on the week it came out, because I was looking for like weird music and I was really into like weird composition, like graphic score or like feedback stuff, right? And then this was like emo guitar and then like really weird pitch shifted auto-tune vocals. This is like the first time I've heard anything like this, and then show you how important it is to me. I do that thing now as for a living. I think it's like, I don't want to be like, oh, Mari, you're the best, like we're friends, and it feels awkward to do that,
but Mari is the best.
But she is legitimately the best of all time, and it's like, I don't know, it's a genius moment that kind of changed the way I think about like writing and recording music, where it's like it was like me when I was like younger and I was like past like being really into like metal and punk music, and was really into like, because I was like, it needs to be more like crazy and fucked up and esoteric. And then like got into like noise music, got into like music concrete, and then I think that's when I found Mari's music. And then like this was one of the songs where it's like, oh my god, you can do that. and then like it came at the time when I was like 18 or 19 or something. I was like, this is so crazy and obscure and experimental. And that's what drew me into it. Like, but don't we all do that when we're 19, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but the more I listen to it, like years later, I'm like subconsciously emulating it. And then I'm like, this is like legitimately such a genius moment. And then like I listen to Mari's music after that. And then it's like everything. I think this is like one of the earlier, this is the earlier Mori's releases, but it's like the way she like kind of is like, no, you can do this auto-tune thing with the emo guitar. She does it in so many different ways. Sometimes there's like saxophones and synthesizers, and it's like such a brilliant idea. And it was like in its like most basic form at Accidental Prizes, and then it branched off in so many different ways. Right. And then, like, oh my god, Mari Moment.
Like, it's gonna be the subtitle of this episode, Mari Moments.
Accidental Prizes Part 2 on Songs About Love and Hate, amazing song.
Yeah.
Another Cadence on the Kunin Parlor, amazing song. I'm just like, oh my god, like, my favorite thing is, like, being revisited. And, like, this is how she wanted it to be, I'm assuming. And then it's like, it's like, wow, like, this is crazy. This is a Mari moment.
I know. Yeah, no, I mean, that's, yeah. Like, I couldn't, I mean, this is, like, what, 10, 11 years old at this point? And
but yeah, I think it's, like a decade old. It is still a masterpiece.
Yeah, and it, but, like, you know, you're saying, like, you know, part two, like, it's like, god, it's, it feels like, I mean, it's just, like, it's like this, man, it's like this 10-year plan that's been unfolding.
Yeah.
I don't think it was probably like this preordained thing, but I mean,
yeah, I'm done being annoying to her, but I will forever be so grateful. Even if we weren't friends, I would so forever like be so grateful for Accidental Prizes. It is amazing.
It's such a good song. Okay, well, if it's not Accidental Prizes, what is your favorite song?
It is Not a Lot, Just Forever by Adrian Linker. Another non-fried choice.
Yes, not yet.
But I don't know. It's like, it's one of those songs that are just good. I think about having kids a lot. Like me and my girlfriend both being trans, it's like, you know, but I'm like, oh my God, it's such a good song. But it's like, this is one of those songs where it's like, your biggest fantasy is to grow a baby and me. I could be a good mother. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my God. But I love how she sings. I love how she plays guitar. I love how it's recorded. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah, the whole thing is, I mean, just even Not a Lot, Just Forever, it's like such a good title.
I know.
Okay, just like, oh my God. And then I think I was reading some, I think it's an interview or something, but we're talking about like this idea of something small happening infinitely.
God. Yes.
And I mean, as someone who, I have a kid and she's 11, and like, like that idea of something small. Anyway.
No, it's so beautiful.
There's another song that would make me cry.
Yeah, I'll cry to anything. But especially this, especially the Paul Robinson track, especially Charlie XCX.
This episode is
it has everything I want in a song, and it's so simple and it's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's one of those things too, where it's like deceptively simple. I mean, it's like on the surface it is, but it's like, oh my God, it is. I couldn't create something like this if I tried for the next 10 years.
Exactly. Like,
And it's like, I know the ingredients, mm-hmm. but that's only a small part of it. Not a lot, just for God.
It's so good. It's unbelievable. Good,
yeah, just as a song, as an idea, as everything. Well, that's a perfect place to end.
I'm so happy I got to explain my fried ass interest.
I love it. I am too. I'm glad.
Because people look at me crazy when I say, hey, put on Drugs by Lil Aaron. Everyone's like, shut up. Get out of the car. Right.
Put your hands together. If anybody, if you're about to get a DUI, that's the song for you. Okay. Anything? So Life Lover's out now.
Life Lover's out now. I don't know.
This will be out in a couple of weeks. Anything else you want to
maybe mention? Wait, this will be out in a couple of weeks. Let me look at my calendar. I have stuff in the works. I'm just like out of town, so I'm like on vacation mode. My friend Outside Hire and I have two new songs out on April 11th that I just submitted to streaming a couple of days ago. But excellent. It's fun. It is our love letter to SoundCloud Rap.
Well, amazing. There you go. April 11th. And
Life Lover is out now. Joy in the Shape of Another Person's out now. Absolver, Kill Me While My Eyes Are Closed is out now. I don't know. I don't have much. I don't like care that hard about like shilling something.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, like I have another album coming out anyway.
Right.
But
yeah,
well, I have multiple albums out.
People should just go to your Bandcamp and throw you a few bucks and listen to yourself.
That'd be amazing.
That's my advice. Well, thank you for doing this.
Thank you. I've been a fan for a very long time. Been a Patreon supporter for a good while. So I'm just like, wow, I'm on this.
Once again, thank you to Kaha Matsui. Go listen to her playlist. Of course, the link's in the show notes, but I'm guessing that a lot of you will get turned on to new stuff. And man, it's just, I love it. There's so much stuff on here that I've been listening to and exploring since. And that's always, you know, that's always the sort of the point. A quick shout out to that Shane Justice McCord album too, by the way. I'd never heard of him, and that album rules. So anyway, that's it. I'm going on. Thank you all for listening. Go buy Life Lover, her latest album. whatever, there might be a new one by the time this comes out. You know, that's how it goes. And as always, thanks for listening. If you enjoy the show, please leave a rating and review. Patreon.com/FoxyDigitalis. Little's $3 a month. You can support the show, support the cause. All that ongoing support means the world. Thank you to everybody who signed up. And until next time, please keep listening to whatever the hell you want. Okay, well, what's your least favorite song?
Walk by Pantera. I think Pantera, man. Dog shit band.